Thank you for listening to the New Life Church podcast. If you need any information about our church, or if you'd like to give online, please visit us at newlifekingman.com.
Thank you for freeing us through the Word of God. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, I want to do something. Let me tell the jerk. What a jerk you are. No. That's the joke. No, I was looking straight ahead. So, oh man, it's at the camera. So, gosh, you who are watching online, it's not you. Tell the joke, and then we'll do other things. So, three buddies die in a car crash, and they find themselves at an orientation to enter heaven. So they're asked, when you are in your casket and friends and family are mourning you, what would you like to hear them say? And so the first guy says, well, I'd like to hear them say that I was a great doctor in my time and a great family man. The second guy says, well, I'd like to hear that I was a wonderful husband and school teacher who made a huge difference in our children of tomorrow. And the last guy says, I'd like to hear them say, look, he's moving. Smart, huh? Come on, that was all right. Okay, listen, what I'm going to do, and if you're here for the first time, I usually right now just go right into the class, but I just felt redirected, not about the class. We're going to teach the class. But I want to do something starting out first, and I'm going to, if you've got a pen and want to write down three portions of scriptures, I'm talking about peace tonight, and this has to do with the class, but it's not in your notes. It's something this morning in prayer I got inspired about, and then before class tonight, re-inspired. Added inspiration. And so what I'm teaching tonight is something that I have experienced, the peace of God. And I am like anybody else. There are times where I can get anxious about some things or worried or troubled about some things. But I used to live in a constant, before I got saved, in a constant state of anxiety. And I understand that there are a number of believers who anxiety and fear and worry is more of an incessant thing. I think all of us are prone to it at times, but there are some of us that Satan really does hit us, and I don't know why it is, but some of us seem to experience it more than others. You know what it is, one of the big things that it is, and this is where the inspiration is, it's a spirit. Spirit of fear. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, for God has not given us, listen, a spirit of fear. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Fear is a spiritual thing. That if it's constant anxiety, worry, fear, all of us are prone to have times of it, but if it's an incessant thing, it's a spiritual thing. Romans 8:15 says, for you did not, he's talking to us as believers, you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. That word Abba is just another word for father. It's like dad, or daddy, or some people like papa. I never like papa, because papa, you know, I just never. But anyway, that's just personal thing. Forget that. We have not received a spirit of fear, spirit of bondage, again to fear, but the spirit of doubt. When we know who we are in God, in Christ, We cry out, and who He has made us to be, we're children of God. We cry out, the freedom rings. Abba, Father, I'm free. And then the third verse, 1 John 4, verse 18, there is no fear in love, because perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. And what that means is that he who fears has not been made complete in love. In other words, we haven't received a complete revelation of God's love for us if we are in fear. And so we need to get to know God's love better for us and receive it as a revelation, really. But there's no fear in love. Perfect love cast out. And that term, cast out, is just the same thing as casting out devils, casting out demons. And so tonight, I'm not saying that you are possessed. I don't, but lots of believers are oppressed by a spirit of fear and worry and anxiety, and it's a more prevalent thing in their lives. And so I really did feel inspired before we get into the class to pray. And what I'd like you to do is close your eyes, bow your head. I'm not even going to look, because you don't have to worry about me thinking anything. I want this, you and God, and the privacy of your heart, but to reach out to Him. And so if this is you, and all of us, again, can be prone, but there are some here I know, or you're viewing online, that this is, seems like, gosh, I just can't seem to shake it. Tonight, we're going to cast it off. Cast it off, the spirit of fear, spirit of bondage, again the fear. Got to go in Jesus' name. And so if that is you, I just want you right there, nobody looking around. This is between you and God, but just put your hand on your head, your mind, your head, as a semblance of your laying hands on your mind. We're going to talk about our minds tonight in a little bit, but right now we're going to pray. And I want you to just call out to God and thank Him for freeing you, setting free right now in the name of Jesus. We cast out that spirit of fear. We drive out. You have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You have not given us a spirit of bondage, again to fear. But, oh God, we cry out, Abba, Father. Say it, Abba, Father. Thank you for your love. Thank you that we do not have to fear, because your perfect love cast out fear. I speak freedom by the name of Jesus and by our Heavenly Father, the love of God, driving fear out. Gotta go. Say right now, go in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for freedom. Don't question, don't doubt, receive in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Tell yourself, in Jesus' name. Tell that spirit of fear, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Look for a difference. So we're going to talk about peace tonight. Tell yourself, peace. Fruit of the Spirit is peace. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. One of the greatest needs and areas of lack in our world today is peace. Josh McDowell has been known for years and years as a tremendous believer and and brilliant man, but a believer in this, apologetics and all of that. But anyway, he made the statement. Psychologists today state the number one ruling emotion is fear. Now tell yourself, but not in me. Amen. Some of the leading selling drugs today are to help people cope with lack of peace. Psychologists, psychiatrists, and the pharmaceutical industry are multi-billion dollar industries because people are looking for peace. Peace, as it's used in the Old Testament, is the Hebrew word shalom, and it means safe, well, happy, friendly, welfare, health, prosperity. Now tell yourself, it's mine. Peace of God. Peace is used in the New Testament is from the Greek word, and it's pronounced eirene, and it means security, safety, prosperity. Interesting that both those definitions, Old Testament and New, include the word prosperity. I believe the reason why that is because a lot of the things that compete with our peace is about our welfare, financial welfare and stuff. And so we are not meant to live bound by fear of having enough and all of that. We're going to find out some things tonight. So John chapter 14, verse 27, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you." How many know the world has peace that it gives? I used to get the peace of the world through chemicals and stuff. I don't do that anymore. Don't need it. "Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Say, no fear. Peace isn't just a fruit of the Spirit, it's a promise. It's so much a part of God's nature that it's one of His names. Judges chapter 6, verse 22 through 24 says, this is talking about Gideon, the beginning of Gideon's becoming a judge in Israel. "Now Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord. And so Gideon said, 'Alas, oh Lord God, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face.'" He thinks he's going to die. "And then the Lord said to him, 'Peace be with you. Do not fear, you shall not die.'" And under Gideon's breath, he says, "Thank you." Verse 24, "So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, 'The Lord is peace.' And to this day, it is still an Oprah of the Abizrites." And so verse 24 is where a lot of people have come to church for a long time. You hear the term of God's name, Jehovah Shalom. This is the verse where that comes from. The Hebrew word for "the Lord is peace" is Jehovah Shalom. It's His name. It's who God is. Peace is who God is. Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7. This is speaking prophetically, obviously, about Jesus who was to come. It says, "For unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever," which means today. "The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it." Jesus, his name was to be recognized, one of his names, Prince of Peace. In Luke chapter 2, verse 11 through 14, a lot of us have read that. We read it during Christmas time. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you: you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." Suddenly, there is with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Because He is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace, we have a promise of peace. Psalm 119, verse 165 says, "Great peace Tell yourself, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. We really need to get a hold of this and understand the promise of peace. Peace isn't something that we are meant to experience just occasionally or sporadically. It really is meant to be an ongoing fruit or evidence of the Spirit's, Holy Spirit's working and presence in our lives. If you got saved, if you gave your life to Christ, Holy Spirit came, moved into your life, and along with Him, fruit. And so we are to meant to experience more and more of His fruit in our lives and to express it, to experience it, express it, peace. Peace is part of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I'm going to ask a question. This is rhetorical. Don't answer. I just want, it's just by illustration's sake. I wonder if I ask us, how many of us feel great peace most of the time, if we would be able to say, of course I do. Now, I don't say that or ask that question to make people feel guilty, but to challenge us, to challenge me. Sometimes you and I, as God's people, live far below our privileges. Peace is one of those things we ought to be able to experience more and more in our life. This is a great old story about a guy that was immigrating to the U.S. decades ago, and he had bought a passage on a ship from Europe, and it took every penny that he had to buy this passage, so he's on the ship. And he had brought along enough cheese and crackers to exist on the voyage over. And so every day he'd watch as people would go into the buffet and they'd eat steak and shrimp and crab legs and mashed potatoes and gravy and fried okra. And I like fried okra if it's cooked just right. But I don't know if they have fried. But anyway, and his mouth, mouth would be watering. And he'd go off somewhere and he'd eat his cheese and crackers. And so toward the end of the voyage, one of the other passengers asked him if he was on some kind of special diet because he noticed he was always just eating cheese and crackers. And he says, no. He says, you know, I spent every penny on the ticket and I can't afford the buffet. And the guy told him, he says, hey, man, there's no charge for the food. It's included in the ticket. Where were you on the first day, you know? I mean, that kind of thing. Listen, we have a lot of privileges you and I should be contending for and enjoying that are included in the ticket. Peace shouldn't be something that we just experience on rare occasions. It is not only possible to have peace through Jesus, but it's a promise. It's a promise. And so we need to contend for His peace to rule in our hearts. Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. Amen. Say, thank you, Jesus. It's part of it. We have to learn to practice letting His peace rule in our hearts. All right, I want to look at several of the, about the foundation of our peace. Foundations are really important. I was talking to Pastor Poole this morning. This building, we have been in this building this month. At the end of this month, 31st of January, we'll have been in this building for 25 years. And the wind has come. I mean, live in Kingman. Wind has beat against this building. Rains, when it does come, has beat against the building. All, you know, weather and stuff like, but this building is still standing, and it's firm, solid. You know why? Because it was a good foundation. As believers, we sometimes have weak foundations in our life about certain principles, and one of those things we can have a weak foundation of is our understanding of the peace of God. And so I want to look at two of them, two weak foundations that we can have toward peace. And the one weak foundation is basing our peace on our own performance. If our peace is all wrapped up in our doing everything right all the time, then we're just not going to have it all the time. Ephesians chapter, and now listen carefully to these portions of Scripture, and let me encourage you again, take these notes with you and go over them through the week. It really will continue to help, and we need to let it get in us. Ephesians 2 verse 14 says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation." The wording here in Ephesians 2:14 is very specific and important for us to grasp. He himself, Jesus himself, is our peace, as opposed to we ourselves. See, if our peace is based in him, it'll be a strong foundation. If it's based on us and our performance, doing everything right all the time, we're going to be in trouble, because there are no perfect people here tonight. We are hopefully growing and increasing and getting better, and our example is getting better to the world and all that, but there's no perfect people here tonight. I know you thought Pastor Poole was perfect, but I can tell you from a conversation I had this morning with him, it's not. No. I know that was a cheap shot, and it's not even true. Well, it is true that he's not perfect, but I am not, me either. Well, I'm blushing now, aren't I? I blush easily. God help me. We aren't perfect, but he is. And because our peace is based on his perfection, it's perfect peace. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, "You will keep," and I'm going to draw this again just in a minute, we're going to look at this verse again, but "you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Our peace is based on his perfection and not our own. And because of this, we should be able to experience it consistently. Tell yourself consistently. Okay, so one weak foundation for peace is basing our peace on our own performance or our doing everything right all the time. Secondly, our foundation of peace sometimes is based on our circumstances. And if this is true, then it's going to be infrequent and fragile. Because our circumstances are not always great. Isn't that true? Our peace shouldn't be based on what's going on around us. It shouldn't be based on what's going on in our financial life or our family life or problems with other people or politics. God help us. Or the neighbors' loud music late at night and every night. Incessantly. Oh, that's getting off subject again, anyway. But our peace isn't resting on that, right? Right, okay. Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses," listen to this, "surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." I'm going to come back to this verse again later, the rest of the verse, but "and the peace of God surpasses understanding." What is the peace of God that surpasses passes all understanding? It is when we are experiencing things in our life that could rattle us, shake us, leave us trembling, and yet we experience a peace that there's no natural explanation for. And we should be able to experience this more and more in our lives as we rest in him. Okay, the peace as being part of the fruit of the Spirit means it's beyond the natural realm, right? Fruit of the Spirit. It's beyond, it's in the God realm. And so I got a great example here from the Word of God in Acts chapter 12. The Word of God is hilarious sometimes, and I mean, it's just some of the things that happens. It's just, it's funny, but it's also instructing and all of that. But this is just, surprises me. You'll see why. Acts chapter 12, James has already been killed by Herod, King Herod. And in the following verses, it describes Peter the night before he's supposed to be executed. So Acts chapter 12, verse 1 through 6, and because he saw it, this is Herod, because he saw it pleased the Jews, meaning him killing James, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had him arrested, or had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Go away, you thing there. Need the peace of God to come on my tech here. Peter was kept in prison, constant prayer made for him, but when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping, bound by two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. This is the night before he's going to die, and this is what got me. Peter's sleeping between two soldiers. I mean, really? Seriously, you're going to die the next day. James already been killed. He's going to die the next day, and he's sleeping. In fact, if you read the rest of the story, an angel comes, kicks him in the side, wakes him up. He wakes up. The guards are falling asleep. And the angel leads him out. He's rescued. He's spared. And all this. Peter thinks he's dreaming until he gets, like, out of the prison and away and toward away. And so, but before all that happens, before he gets loosed, he's sleeping the night before he thinks he's going to die. That is the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. The reason for God's peace, his safety, security, and prosperity is understanding God has a final amen over everything. We can trust him no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in. So two weak foundations we can base our peace on are our own performance or our circumstances. The foundation for our peace rests on the cross of Jesus Christ. And we need to gain better understanding of what was accomplished when Jesus died on the cross for us. It was for more than just our forgiveness, and I think probably everybody here knows that. One of the many things, listen, that was paid for on the cross was our peace. This point is so important that it's repeated over and again in the Bible, meaning that God's peace is meant to be ours, and Jesus paid for it by his sacrifice. Isaiah 53 verse 5 says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." We are healed from unrest, dis-ease of mind, heart, spirit, fear, worry, and sickness and all that. Chastisement for our peace was upon him. By his stripes we're healed. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20 through 22. This is wonderful. "And by him to reconcile all things to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you," talk to us, "who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled," listen, in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy. Say, me. He's talking about me. Amen. To present you holy. Who would have ever thought it? Who would have ever thought it? Present us holy. Tell yourself, I'm holy by the blood of Jesus. Holy and blameless and above reproach. In his sight. This is too good. It's true, but it seems too good to be true, and yet it is true. Through the blood of his cross, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. We've been brought near, haven't we? By the blood of perfect love, cast out fear. We've been brought near by the blood of Christ, and he himself is our peace. We're meant to have the peace of God ruling in our lives, and not just experiencing on rare occasion. We are meant to experience a lasting peace, and if we are not experiencing more of a lasting peace, then we aren't enjoying a central part of what Jesus suffered for. I mentioned at the beginning of the class, and a lot of you know my testimony. Before I got saved, I lived almost with constant anxiety. It was worse at times than others, but and there wasn't any really natural reason for it. It was I know what it was. The devil was out to destroy me. Almost did in my teen years because I self-medicated, did stupid stuff, and almost destroyed my life. After I got saved, I experienced the peace of God. And it wasn't that I never had a worry or care or thing. I did. I had things that happened that would, but I understood because that thing got broken. That constant knot and anxiety was broken the night that I got saved. And when I began to feel anxiety or something kind of hanging on me, because how many know the devil is still trying? He's as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We don't have to put up with him. And that's what I realized after I got saved. I experienced for a period of time just peace and at ease and that anxiety broken. And then I felt it one day and I thought, and I could feel it kind of weighing in on me. And I thought, I don't have to live this way anymore. This is not my portion of life. I am not going to live my life bound by constant worry, fear, or anxiety. And when I stand against it, it's got to go. And the devil is persistent. He'll try to keep worry and anxiety and fear on us. It's got to go in Jesus' name. Got to resist it. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. The foundation of our peace rests on the cross of Christ, what he's already accomplished. He wanted us to experience peace so badly, he died for it. He paid the price. Okay, we're going to look at several things and areas that we can of how peace comes, how we can regain and retain the peace Jesus paid for. And the first is peace comes by faith. We are saved by faith, aren't we? Our relationship with God begins by our believing. We finally, somewhere, somehow, we believe, and that even is God's initiation, but we make a decision. I believe Jesus died for me. And so our relationship with God began when Jesus 2,000 years ago died on the cross. But we accept, we receive, we believe, and Jesus comes into our life. The peace of God comes also, the beginning of peace comes through believing. Romans 5 verse 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now tell yourself again, this is mine in Jesus' name. But our faith has to be aggressive. Matthew chapter 11 verse 12 says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Our faith needs to be, there's a violence at times, our faith has to be, where we are, it's aggressive. Jude in verse 3 says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly." It's talking about putting some oomph into it. Contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Contending for the faith. We contend. We are in a war. Somebody, Paul wrote about the fight, the good fight of faith. And so there's times we have to, our faith has to get, there are times in our life that call for aggression. And I'm not talking about being abusive to people. You know, you idiot, you know, you're messing with my peace. I rebuke you, and you know, not that. But when we recognize, like I told you about myself, I recognize that something's competing against my peace. And I'll tell you, there are times where I have allowed dis-ease, anxiety or worry to kind of settle in on me for a while. And then I come, it's almost like I come to myself and I think, what am I doing here? And I contend against it in Jesus' name. I will not live this way in Jesus' name. Got to go. We stand against anxiety, fear, worry. Not letting anxiety, worry, and fear just to have their way in our lives. Got to contend against it. Aggression sometimes called for. Cindy and I, when the weather's nice, we'll walk in our neighborhood, and we've had occasion where dogs have come up. Pit bull once, two different times came, you know, and that. And then one time, a weirdo and his dog came up, and so. You know what I did? I bought a 9mm. I did a 6 hour. Now me and I bought a 9mm. And I was talking to some of the guys. I think it was before class. I know it was John and Roger was probably there, and Brother Roy was standing outside. And I said, "Well, I bought me a gun. I'm those dogs. Boo!" And so, you know, now John Roberts has guns too, and so does Roger and a bunch of people. But anyway. John was talking, he says, "You know, that may not be," and he's cautioning me. He said, "May not be the best," because I know what he's thinking. You know, he's seeing me with a dog coming in, bah, 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 you know, blowing the neighborhood up. Thank you, John. That was good advice. So I still have the gun, just in case a dog or a psycho breaks into my house. But anyway. So I traded, instead of carrying the gun, I bought a collapsible nightstick just in case. But I didn't like carrying the nightstick, so now I got a small can of pepper spray. So for aggression, it's called for on certain occasions, you know what I mean? This is especially true with the things that compete with God's peace in our life. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, "Casting all your care upon him because he cares for you." We got to shake it off.
That's right.
Shake it off. Jesus, I'm worried about my job, the kids, the economy, our nation. Help us, Jesus. But I cast my care upon you because you care for me. And we got to know he cares. Sometimes I know we can question and say, "You know what? God, do you even care?" Oh, yeah, he cares. Tell yourself, he cares. There's nothing more he could do than he's already done for us. Jesus, God the Father sent the Son came, died, had a horrible death. Nothing more he could do to show us that he cares. Jesus suffered terribly to purchase our peace, and we do him a disservice if we allow worry and anxiety and fear to rule in our life. We've got to aggressively resist those things and aggressively pursue his peace. Promise would be ours. Accept it. Believe it. It's ours. Say it's mine. Once again, Isaiah 26, verse 3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because what? He trusts in you. Trust and peace, faith and peace go hand in hand. Peace comes by faith. Secondly, peace comes from cultivating a spiritual mindset. Romans 8 and verse 6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." The reality is we oftentimes allow too much garbage in our minds. And when I say that, I'm not just talking about unclean thoughts, but I'm talking about negative, self-demeaning thoughts. Is anything ever going to get better? All that kind of stuff. And we've got to learn to take out the garbage. Take out the garbage. And quit allowing negative junk to just stay in on us. Isaiah 26, once again, verse 3, and I'm going to read it in the Amplified version. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. The Amplified version reads like this. You will guard him and keep him in perfect constant peace whose mind, both its inclination and its character, is stayed on you because he commits himself to you and leans on you and hopes confidently in you. That's really good. We've got to regain control of our minds. And the Bible says, perfect peace if our minds are stayed on him. This word stayed in the original Hebrew means to lean upon or to take hold of. So it's how we lean our minds. We've got to lean our minds in God's direction because there are all these things in our life that try to get us leaning our minds in the negative, worry, fear, and all those things, circumstances, all that, leaning our minds in those directions where we think just in the natural realm. We've got to lean our minds in the right way. And so while we do that, as we bring ourselves in, lean our mind on him. Lord, I'm just not going to think that. I'm not going to allow my mind to dwell on that. I thank you that I can trust you with everything in my life. I won't worry or be afraid. You're always with me. Peace comes from cultivating a spiritual mindset. And then finally tonight, peace comes through believing prayer. And this is the last portion of Scripture, but this is really an important, this could be a class all of its own. But so don't let the shortness, the brevity of this speak like it is just, let the importance of this get a hold of you. It's so important. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We will experience more of what God says is ours, which is peace, if we'll pray more often, more specifically. Philippians 4, 6 says, in everything by prayer. Anything that causes anxiousness or concern or care, we need to pray about whatever concerns us. And when we do, as we do, the peace of God, which passes understanding, will keep our hearts and minds. It means to mount guard as a sentry. And let me tell you something from experience. This takes practice. This is something that I have to continue to practice in my life. Remind myself to practice in my life. To remember that when something's bothering us, stop and pray. Something like, Lord, this really is troubling me. And it can be the small nagging thoughts or anxieties, or it can be the seemingly life-altering events in our life where we say, Lord, this is troubling. This is a crisis, or this is an irritant. But I give it to you. I trust you to intervene in my life, to work it out. You are the answer. You have the answer. You are the answer. And peace comes through believing prayer. Okay, let's pray tonight again. We opened in prayer, but we're going to pray again tonight. And I've got a prayer and confession I want to lead you in, and then I'm just going to pray over us again tonight as we close. Just pray this out with me, if you would. Jesus, you are my peace. I thank you that I don't have to live in fear, worry, and anxiety. Tonight, I lean my mind in your direction. I believe the peace you have promised will guard my heart and mind in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let me just pray over us before we go tonight. Lord, right now, thank you for defeating the spirit of fear. Thank you that you have freed us from the bondage again to fear. Thank you. We can cry out to you, Abba Father. Father, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. You are the Prince of Peace. We allow these truths to settle not just in our minds, but way down deep in our hearts. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for applying this truth into our lives and into our minds, into our very being. We praise you. Help us to remember, Holy Spirit, when we're troubled, anxious, fearful, worrying, to bring everything to you, trusting, believing you are the answer, you have the answer. We trust you with everything in our lives. Thank you for it, Lord. I pray everyone that's here tonight leaves with us the peace of God. And as they go home and things start coming back to mind, the peace of God ruling in our hearts and minds. We praise you for it. We thank you for it. It's ours. Tell yourself, it's mine in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. God bless you guys. Amen. Next week, we're going to talk about long-suffering, and it doesn't mean suffering for a long time.
Thank you for listening to the New Life Kingman podcast. We can't wait to see you next week.